from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro. And on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we have Sharon Scott in studio to discuss her musical Mahalia Jackson, Just As I Am, a tribute to one of the queens of gospel, if not the queen of gospel.
Yes.
Sharon, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sharon Scott, for those who may not know, is an actress, singer, and playwright who wrote and directed the play Mahalia Jackson, Just As I Am, which is playing now at the Cinnabar Theater in Petaluma until January 24th.
Yes.
And she's here in studio with keyboardist Tammy Hall, who will be playing some music for us in just a bit. But why don't we start with the very first question, which is what inspired you to write a play about Mahalia Jackson?
I absolutely adore Mahalia Jackson. From the time I was a little girl, my grandmother was a maid, but she was also married to a minister. So she was the first lady of the church. And she got up early on Sunday mornings to cook breakfast and dinner at 5 a.m. And I would listen to her singing, cooking, and moving around with Mahalia. And in my head, it was a concert. So I started singing along with them, quietly, of course.
And then a little louder later.
Later on.
Well, you know, this is a tall order. When you're talking about Mahalia Jackson, I mean, you'd have to be living under a rock for the last half century not to know what an amazing talent she was, what an icon, really.
Yes, a total icon.
Yeah.
She was the first at so many things that we just take for granted now. The Grammys had a gospel award only because of Mahalia. Her numbers were just outrageous internationally. So they had to give her some credit, and they gave her a Grammy.
She was on TV so early that the clips you see on YouTube, you know, have that kind of warped quality.
Yes. And they were like 15-minute little shorts in the beginning and black and white. But Mahalia Jackson was on television with her own show. So go figure.
So you said about writing this show, which is basically looking at her life and her music and her politics. Where do you begin the research?
My goodness. It started the last port of call on my honeymoon. My husband and I, we were in New Orleans, and he said, let's make it find Mahalia Day. And we went until we found her. And she wasn't in New Orleans. She was in Metairie. And I remember when we found her, it was just this moment. And I went and I started talking to her. And it just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed the right thing to do. I always loved her. I always have sang her music. I never, ever, ever try to imitate her. But it feels right to just give the essence of who she was. And she's so much more than we thought, so much more than just that gospel singer. So I guess it started on my honeymoon.
And kept going. Were there any big surprises for you where you're like, I didn't realize?
Millions. We went to Chicago. We went to visit her church, Greater Salem Baptist Church, and her house. And, you know, I didn't know about the shooting of her house, you know, that in broad daylight, someone shot out her glass picture window. I didn't know that there had been a cross burned on her lawn. I didn't know, you know, that she had been arrested on stage while performing. I didn't know that she had these the same incidents that African Americans of that time, they would have, she had also. She would be stopped. Her money would be taken. She'd, you know, there was a thing where you take your shoes off. I guess they thought you had money in your shoes. So it was tumultuous. And I didn't realize that she went through everything, all the other civil rights marchers and participants had gone through.
She didn't just show up in 1963.
No, she didn't, baby. She lived through it. And that's the incredible part. She did live through it. You know, she was very active in politics. She stomped for Ike. As a matter of fact, Ike's mother really loved her and would send her notes and invite her to tea. Mayor Daley, who was just a dickens of a man. He liked her. When the incident happened where her window was shot out, he sent the police to her home to guard her. So she had special relationships with so many people, you know. John D. Rockefeller, he loved her. Carl Sagan interviewed her, and with the Nobel Committee talking to her about gospel music and the effect of gospel music. And this is a woman who had maybe a fourth grade education and talking with these type of minds, the great minds of the day, Mitch Miller, Danny Kaye. I mean, people, Elvis Presley, man, Mahalia had the most incredible life. She had an incredible life. And
she had an incredible voice. I mean, yes. You listen to those recordings, you see those videos, mm-hmm. and it's not just the voice, which is, you know, immense. It yes. just demands respect.
Yes.
But it's also, she had a kind of personal authority
yes.
that she just exuded. Will pay attention.
And she was loved by the regular people and the, you know, the great people of the time. There was a story of the Queen of the Netherlands, whose name I can't pronounce, but she would call on Mahalia whenever she felt down and ask Mahalia to come and sing for her down by the riverside just to make her feel better. So,
well, I guess when you get that kind of a phone call,
well,
your answer.
You kind of do, yeah.
So now I got to ask, you know, and this is, of course, a prelude to getting you to sing. Mm-hmm. You know, all right, like, you just said earlier that you don't try to be Mahalia Jackson, mm-mm, but mm-mm. but how do you approach interpreting songs that she basically made her own?
By being cognizant of the time and the style of music. Our young gospel artists and our older gospel artists right now, there's more vocal acrobatics, you know, when they're singing, whereas Mahalia simply, in my opinion, would reach down into the center of her being and give you the purity of that emotion and of that song, that the feeling in that song, which is what I try to do. I try not to let it get clouded by what Sharon wants to do and just simply sing the song, which is what she did. And she wasn't all about, you know, having a lot of dancers and musicians around her. She would sing flat-footed. She'd stand flat-footed and sing a song and would just move mountains with it.
So what do you want to sing for us now?
Well, one of her songs that she made famous was Didn't It Rain, so I'm going to go for it.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
And it is raining, so kind of apropos.
Absolutely.
And on the keyboards is Ms. Tammy Hall, a phenomenal musician.
Fabulous. Here we go.
Well, didn't it rain, children? Rain, oh my Lord, didn't it? Didn't it? Didn't it? Oh, my Lord, didn't it rain? Well, rain 40 days and 40 nights without stopping. Noah was glad when the rain stopped dropping. They knocked at the window, they knocked at the door. They said, Brother Noah, can you take in more? Noah cried, no, you're full of sin. God's got the key, you can't get in. So listen, it's raining all day, all night. Well, God sent a raven to spread the news. He hoisted his wings and away he flew to the north, to the south, to the east, children to the west. Flew all day, all night, all day. Didn't it rain, children? Rain, oh my Lord. Didn't it? Didn't it? Didn't it? Oh my Lord. I said, didn't it rain? Hey, hey.
Sharon Scott and Tammy Hall. making the entire KQED forum team bounce up and down. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So now I want to put the call out to listeners to join the conversation. I'm sure you've got questions for Sharon Scott. Talk about somebody steeped in all things Mahalia Jackson. This is a historian we have in the studio here, as well as an actress, singer, playwright, director. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. 866-733-6786. You can also join the conversation by emailing us at forum@kqed.org, tweeting to us at KQED Forum. We also have a Facebook page. You know, Petaluma is not your first stop. You've been performing this around the country, right?
Well, I've been performing down in Florida, and it has become this labor of love, and how I got here was just incredible. I met this beautiful singer, Kim Nally, who is from San Francisco, and she came to do a Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration, and we started to talk, and I started to talk about Mahalia, and she said, "Oh my goodness, you should write a play," and I said, "I have," and she said, "Well, you should do it." And I said, "Where?" And she said, "I know a lady." So she introduced me to Ellie, who is the artistic director at Cinnabar Theater. And I swear to goodness, the next, it's like a little blur. It just happened. So as my grandma says, you know, if God has something for you, nobody can stand against you. And here I am on this most wonderful adventure. It's been fabulous. I knew I had put a lot of energy and a lot of work into creating the play, but in my area, you know, I didn't know if they liked me or they liked the play. So to be in Petaluma, totally out of the box, totally out of my comfort zone, and to have people respond so positively, then I know it's the play. I know it's the play. It's not me. They don't know me.
What kind of reaction have you got? What kind of audiences do you see staring back at you?
Oh, my goodness. It's very diverse, and we've gotten this past Sunday, we had an audience filled with senior citizens. And that, Tammy, don't you think that was just the most incredible experience? These people were, they lived this experience. And one lady, 94 years old, she started talking to me. I have a line in the play, and I say, "Colored folks is a different kind of audience. When they come to show, they show up and show out, testifying, talking back at you, dancing in the aisles." And she took me literally. When I talked to her, she talked back to me. And at the end, I have a scene where Martin has been shot. And Mahalia, she took it really hard because in my research, it appears that Martin Luther King Jr. was like the son she never had because she couldn't have children. She was so supportive of him. And when he died, she really did lose it a little bit. And so I zipped that into a scene where she really loses it. And this beautiful lady, she got up. We thought she was, you know, trying to go to the ladies' room. But no, she got up at 94 years old. She left her walker and she came to me and she took my hand. And I'm on stage. I'm already crying my eyes out. And she took my hand and she said, "Honey, it's going to be all right." I've never had an experience like that. It was awe-inspiring. And another patron came up to me and she said, at that moment, she said it was like grace fell over the theater. So, this play has, it's not mine anymore. The universe is in control. The universe is at the reins and I'm just trying to hold on.
Well, we've got some people who want to shout out.
Okay.
Who want to show out. Francesca in Petaluma, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, and amen, Sharon. Amen. I saw your show a week ago Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal and inspiring.
Thank you.
And my friend and I were part of your New Orleans funeral march.
Oh, my goodness. I take people out of the audience, and we have a parade. It is hysterical every time.
Oh. Well, Sharon, my question for you is, I'm a native of Chicago,
yes.
And my dad's best friend was the piano player Chet Roble, who was a very dear friend of Studs Terkel.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't expecting the Studs Terkel connection at
yes,
all.
Yes.
And I wanted to know, how did you research that to find out that Mahalia and Studs had this 30-year friendship?
I found an article that he gave a eulogy. And I was like, well, why is Studs Terkel doing a eulogy for Mahalia Jackson? So I went online. I started reading some of her books. And he first heard her music in a record store. And he was like, who is this? And he started following her. Literally, every church she went, every venue, every little event she did, he started following her. And after a year or so, he got the nerve to go up and meet her. And he said, she said, baby, I know what you've been. I've seen you. You're the only little speck out there. So he and she started a friendship. And during that time, black and white, they didn't mix like on television or radio. Studs didn't care. He had her on his radio show. He played her music. And that got her into the homes of white America. Not, you know, in a sneaky kind of, just an open face, boom, there it was. And they accepted her. And that's how and you can go online and there are wonderful, you know, he's got a lot of his interviews online and you can, and there's a couple of videos and he just tells everyone, I loved her. Mahalia Jackson, I just loved her. He says it all the time. Go and look online. It's beautiful things. And you can see him talking about her.
Great question. Thank you, Francesca. We've got some other calls I want to make sure to get in here. Adrian in Sonoma.
Yes, hi. Hi, Sharon. I saw your show yesterday. I was there with a sister and a friend, and it was so moving when that elderly woman
yes.
came forward. It felt like maybe she had been in some of the marches with Martin herself. Do you know anything about her story?
She told me that she had lived through the civil rights era and some of the things that I spoke about, of the harassment of the police and harassment of the marchers that she had gone through. So it just touched her so much to see that history is not being forgotten.
Speaking of history, can you tell the story of how she inspired the I Have a Dream speech?
Oh, my goodness. During the during Martin's speech in 1963 in the March on Washington, she opened for him and she sang for him. So she was on the dais and he gave a speech that was, you know, things that was happening, things that we needed to do and whatnot. And he was winding down. The audience had given him this really huge applause and Mahalia, during the applause, yelled out to him, tell him about the dream, Martin. Tell him about the dream. Now, she had consulted with him on his speeches and some of his sermons. So she had she knew about the I Have a Dream speech and he had given it before. But this time, man, oh, as the old folks say, he put his foot in it. It was just he might not have given that portion of the speech if she had not said, tell him about the dream.
Well, I know we want to get another song in here, but let's get a call in first from Diane in San Francisco.
Hi. I just want to know, do you talk about her business genius?
I do talk a little bit. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She, one of the things that I say is she learned when Bessie Smith, who was one of her idols. When Bessie Smith died, John Hammond made more money off of her dying. And so she said in the play, I say, handling your money and controlling your money is just as important as making money. And she got herself a team of lawyers to look over her money, and she kept an eagle eye on them. So, yes, ma'am, I talk about her and her business acumen.
Now, Diana, did you want to talk specifically about her fried chicken franchise?
Exactly. Exactly. I was born and raised in Detroit.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I lived on the north end and on Holbrook and Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
She had a franchise, Mahalia Jackson's
Glory Fried Chicken. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And they had it in Chicago and Detroit. I don't know where else they have it.
And she had a line of foods at the A&P.
She had frozen food.
Mm-hmm. And canned. She had some cans. She had some cans, too.
Yes, she had cans. But nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about her business genius.
Yes.
And I'm glad you do.
Yes,
thank you,
ma'am.
Darling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. What a wonderful comment to make. And I believe in your research, you discovered a cookbook as well, right?
Yes. She made a cookbook, Mahalia's Soulful Cooking or something like that. I've looked at a lot of the recipes. I looked specifically for the glorified chicken. And some of them they're from the 40s or the 50s, and it was, you know, more hors d'oeuvre kind of stuff. But yes, she does have a cookbook.
And, well, we're going to run out of time sooner rather than later, so I want to make sure you get at least one more song in here. What would you like to sing for us next?
Well, maybe we can do a little piece of Let There Be Peace on Earth.
Yeah.
Little snippet.
Yeah.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers, all are we. Let me walk with my brothers and sisters in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my sign. Stop there and make them come see the show.
They got till January 24th, right? So not too much time left. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But tickets still available, I take it?
For the Thursday, Friday, Saturday show, I think there's some tickets left, but Sunday's all sold out.
Wow. Well, you heard it here. If you're gonna move, you need to move fast.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking, listening to this song, so many gospel singers over the 20th century moved into popular music, you know.
Yeah.
Fame, fortune were such a pull. But Mahalia Jackson stayed true.
She stayed true to sacred music. She said, when you sing the blues, when you finish, you still got the blues. But when you sing gospel, it feels as if you found the cure for what ails you.
Takes you right to church, doesn't it?
Takes you right to church, yeah.
You know, I in preparation for this segment, I gave myself the pleasure of listening to a lot of Mahalia Jackson songs, particularly from the civil rights era. Mm-hmm. And there were so many that became these big
anthems. Yes.
And so I'm curious, you know, do you have any favorites or do you just have to list them all?
it depends on the moment. There's a moment that happens in the play. I start singing We Shall Overcome. And you can see the audience being taken back, and they sing with me. And it's really a beautiful moment. It's a joyous moment. There's so many moments in this production. I almost feel I'm humbled by it because it's honest. You know, the reactions are honest and loving, and you can tell. I talk to people, and they love Mahalia Jackson. So I want to do her justice by telling an honest story with integrity.
You know, it seems we all have some sense of a cultural memory of the civil rights era. But as time marches on, many of the old soldiers head to the chorus up in the sky.
Yes.
And do you worry that it's the little details of the history, the people behind Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. who get forgotten, who get lost?
Yes. And unfortunately, you know, it's up to us to tell those stories. My old friend, Mrs. Feldman, says you have to make sure you tell your stories so it's not forgotten. Last night I saw Donza Lee Abernathy, that's Ralph Abernathy's daughter, and she's telling the story of her father and Martin's relationship. So she's keeping the banner, you know, flying high. It's up to us. It's up to us to tell the story so the young people won't forget and the old people will be reminded.
Oh, yeah. Fully pleasurable. If you want to see Sharon Scott and Tammy Hall, keyboardist here, thank you for joining us, then you need to show up at the Cinnabar Theater in Petaluma sometime before January 25th.
Yes.
I've been talking to Sharon Scott. We've been hearing from Sharon and Tammy Hall. Thank you so much for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You've been listening to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro.
For the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.